Today we are concluding our Questions from Young Disciples preaching series, and I'm for one am glad it's coming to a close because it's been challenging to prepare because our kids are asking some pretty good questions. And don't be surprised if there's another series like this somewhere down the line. We'll do this again as we wrestle with even more of the questions that they have asked. But the question today is a rather profound one. Why is there so much sin and suffering in the world? That's a deep question without a simple answer, but we're gonna take a crack at it here this morning. And one thing I think we can all agree on as we begin this message is our world is full of sin and suffering. Not a single one of us is immune to that. Sin affects us each one every day, and suffering in some form affects everyone at some point in their lifetime. So let's see what God's Word says as we attempt to answer this question from the ages. Why is there so much sin and suffering in the world? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18 will be our foundational text for this message. Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, shares these words. He says, "Therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." Here ends the reading of God's holy word. We'll tie this passage in here in just a few moments, but to begin to answer this question according to Scripture, we really need to go back to the beginning of the Bible, back to the Garden of Eden once again. The Garden of Eden was a perfect place. It had Adam and Eve, and they included a personal fellowship with God. They had a relationship with God that we could only dream about, to be able to walk with God and to talk with Him and have fellowship with Him in that way. They had it all. They had everything provided for them. But that all changed that one day the serpent showed up and deceived Adam and Eve, and they ate of the forbidden fruit. So to understand why there is so much sin and suffering in this world, we need to consider this story once again. And the first point we want to make is this. There is so much sin and suffering in this world because when God made humanity, He gave them free will. He gave them free will. God created the universe and everything in it, and He said it is very good. It is very good. Animals and people did not die. Floods did not devastate lands. There was no disease to cause long-term pain. He had made everything good. And He walked with the first humans and had an amazing, perfect harmony with them. But He had given a command, and that command was to not eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the command was related to human free will. God was essentially saying, look, you have everything you need here, and all I ask is that you do not eat of this one tree. And so Adam and Eve, again, had it very well. They had it very well. But there was that one boundary, so to speak, that one command that they needed to obey. And of course, with human free will, Adam and Eve could choose to love the Lord and follow Him and turn away from that tree and have nothing to do with it, or they could, as we well know, eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that's exactly what they did. In Genesis 3:6, we read, "When the woman saw the fruit of the tree was good and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it." Adam and Eve were given a free will, and they could choose to obey or to not obey. And unfortunately, they chose to not obey. They chose to eat when they were told not to eat, and as a result, sin and death entered the world, marring the relationship between Adam and Eve as well as their relationship with the Lord. They both died spiritually, and they would eventually die physically in return to the, the earth, the dust from which they were formed. The poison of sin seeped into everything, and where plants once flourished, now they would be choked with thorns and thistles. Each harvest was replaced with back-breaking labor. Animals began devouring each other. Inequality would plague women as they would be subjected to man, bear children in pain. When we hear about catastrophic hurricanes or wildfires or children being trafficked for slavery or people dying from preventable diseases, we should not be so quick to raise a fist, but take a more sober look at the world around us. Because none of this was a part of the world that God had designed, that He said was very good. It wasn't supposed to be this way. And of course, we live in a world that is indeed struggles every day with evil and with pain and with suffering. And we know what death has done to our beloved creation. We die because we are sons and daughters of Adam, and in Adam all die, 1 Corinthians 15:22 tells us. So not only are we born with a sinful nature because of Adam and Eve, but we choose to sin as well. We choose to sin. They had free will, we have free will, and as a result, we also make choices that impact others. And that leads to our second point today. Because we have a free will, we make bad choices that have profound consequences. Let's face it, Adam and Eve's choice to eat of the forbidden fruit had profound consequences. Think about it. Because they ate of that fruit, what happened? They lost the fellowship that they had with the Father. They no longer had a perfect relationship with each other. Now they were blaming each other. It was her fault. It was his fault. They had shame in their life. And then they suffered the consequences of their sin. They died spiritually, no longer having that intimate relationship with the Father. Eve would now give birth to children, but with great pain. Adam would have to work the ground and to get food to eat, and the ground would be not cooperating with thorns and thistles and so forth. Life for each of them got suddenly very difficult, all because they chose to eat of the forbidden fruit. Sin is breaking God's law, and God tells us what is right and what is wrong in His Word, the Bible. And whenever we do something that God tells us not to do, like lying to a friend or cheating on our spouse or stealing something, it's wrong. It's sin in God's eyes, and there are many negative consequences to sin. Bad things happen when people sin. When you steal from a store, it affects the store's profitability. It affects your conscience and God's order in this universe. Sin is why we see so much death and destruction and catastrophes and hatred and negativity in the world. Every day we make bad choices that have profound consequences. What does the Bible say about this? Well, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 9 says this: "This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live." Your life is your choice. Your life is your choice. And every day we are faced with a choice. Will I follow God today? Will I live according to His words today? Will I be Christ-like in my actions today, in my attitudes today, in my interactions with others? Or will I be like the world? And some days we make pretty good choices and do a good job of that. But other days we make some bad choices. It doesn't go so well. The Bible tells us that the consequences of sin are separation from God and death, but we are to choose life. Why is there so much sin and suffering in this world? Because we make bad choices that have profound consequences every day. In 2010, a 19-year-old Australian teenager named Sam Ballard ate a small slug on a dare. He was infected by a parasite carried by the slug that caused rat lungworm disease, which put him in a coma and paralyzed him. He died 8 years later in 2018. I think we can all say he made a bad choice, right? He made a bad choice. And we do the same thing every day. And our third point today is this. We have to realize that the fall of humanity impacts every aspect of our lives. Every aspect of our lives is impacted by what happened in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve ate of the forbidden fruit. Because not only does sin affect our choices in our individual lives, but the fall affects the world in which we live. Look at the evening news if you can. Wars, refugees trying to find food and shelter, homelessness, natural disasters, diseases, tragedies. The list goes on and on of the sufferings and the experiences in our world. Global warming, the result of the fall and the choices that we have made. See, not merely is humanity fallen, but the world in which we live is fallen as well. And we deal with this every day. We experience heartache and pain. We witness natural disasters and staggering loss. Injustice, inhumanity, falsehood seems to hold us sway. Discord and trouble are commonplace. None of this was a part of God's original plan. We fell from our original position in the Garden of Eden, and now we have to live in a fallen world. In fact, Romans chapter 8:22 tells us that creation groans under the consequences of sin. Think about that. I remember back when we struggled through the pandemic. Wasn't that a fun time? Oh, my goodness. That was a tough time. And everybody was blaming somebody else, right? You know, it was the president's fault. It was China's fault. It was the CDC's fault. And everyone was blaming somebody else for the pandemic. The reality is that we live in a world that's fallen, and these kinds of things happen. Disease is a reality that we cannot escape, and our everyday lives and our environment are affected by sin. Part of the reason there is so much suffering and sin in this world is the fact that sin affects not just humanity and our choices, but the world in which we live. A world that when God created it, he said was very, very good. Sometimes that is the only reason we have for suffering, is that we live in a fallen world. Yes, there is far too much sin and suffering in this world, and I don't see that getting any better. In fact, it's likely to get worse. But let me suggest a word of caution here. It's so easy when we focus on the sin in this world and the suffering in this world and the bad things that are happening in this world that we can become cynical and critical. To begin to think that God doesn't care about us. And certainly can't love us. And friends, when those thoughts begin entering your mind, that's the devil trying to get a foothold in your life. Here is the point. Don't allow the evil in this world to overshadow the good. Don't allow the sin and the suffering and the evil in this world to overshadow the many good things that are happening in our world. And it's so easy to fall into that trap. You watch the evening news and virtually all the stories are negative stories, bad stories. The good news is rarely told, and yet much good is happening every day. And much of it's happening unnoticed in a way that doesn't draw attention to itself. Think of the mission work that's being done by the church worldwide. Think of the ministries that are happening through churches every day. Think of the efforts of the church to end global hunger and to provide affordable housing, to help the refugee, to save the lives of the unborn, to minister to people who are hurting and lost, broken in this world. Galatians 6:9 reminds us to not grow weary in well-doing, for in due time we will reap a harvest if we faint not. A few weeks ago, I was at the D6 conference in Orlando with 8 others from the church, and it was great. It was so refreshing to hear positive stories of the churches who are making a real kingdom impact, particularly in the area of family ministries. Stories of family ministries that were excelling at discipling children and parents and grandparents. See, friends, there's good news in this world, but we sometimes have to look for it. Sometimes we have to try and find it and draw some strength from it. Because you focus on the evil and the suffering and the sin in this world, and you can become depressed and downright cynical if you're not careful. I think that's what Paul had in mind when he wrote that second letter to the church in Corinth. Because in our text today, he says, outwardly we are wasting away. Things look bad on the outside, but inwardly we are being renewed day by day. And if you know anything about the church in Corinth was a very small church in a very large city that was very worldly. I mean, all kinds of false gods are being worshipped, all kinds of sin going on, and here's this little church trying to live for Jesus Christ. And Paul's saying, you know, outwardly, things don't look so good, but inwardly, you're being renewed day by day. The Holy Spirit has a tremendous capacity to lift our spirits when all we are seeing and hearing is of the evil in the world. You know, sometimes we need to just turn off the news. Just turn off the news and allow God to remind us of His great love and His wonderful promises in His Word. Paul says we need to allow that to happen to us every day, to be renewed from within, day by day, he says. Nick Vujicic was born in 1982, surprising his parents and doctors when they saw he had no arms or legs. It's a rare birth defect known as tetra-amelia syndrome. Nick tells us the Australian doctors were extremely apologetic that they had not detected the syndrome and offered his mother the option of abortion. For a growing boy, not having limbs and knowing what the doctors had said gave little Nick a very rough path. Looking at my brother and sister born after me and them having arms and legs kind of felt a little unfair and weird. And with no answers, it's easy to start believing the lies, the little voices that say, you're not good enough, you're a mistake, there's no greater purpose in your life. And so as I went to school, I faced bullying, lots of bullying. I went through depression at age 8 until 12, and I felt like there was no hope in my life. During that period, Nick attempted to take his own life by drowning. Fortunately, he failed. Fast forward to today, he says, here I am, now at age 40 with a beautiful wife, 4 beautiful children, and this incredible ministry entitled Life Without Limbs. I love being the hands and feet of God, even when I don't have hands and feet. Standing in front of the gates of hell and redirecting traffic. I now try to encourage everyone that no matter what pain we go through, that God can do beautiful things with our broken pieces if we give those broken pieces into His hands. Nick is a powerful reminder that what everyone else says was bad or unfair, God can use for His glory. Nick's life could be one of profound sadness and disappointment, having no arms and legs. Instead, he focuses on God and how God has given him a platform to talk about His amazing love through Jesus Christ. I think it's pretty outstanding that God is using someone who has no hands and no feet to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Friends, don't allow the sin and the suffering of this world to overshadow the good. And that leads to our last point today. And that is that God entered our pain to bring redemption and hope. From Genesis to Revelation, we see a God who refuses to give up on His creation. Think back to those Old Testament stories where the Israelite people again turned away from God and were worshiping false idols. And time again, you would think, God, why don't you just wipe them off the face of the planet and start all over? But He never did that. He never gave up on them, even when they seemed so far from Him. Through the prophets, He repeatedly called His people back to Him. And even when they turn away time and time again, He never stopped speaking. He never stopped calling them back. And then in the ultimate act of love, God Himself steps into the story. Through Jesus Christ, God comes to live among us, to teach us, to heal us, and ultimately to die for us. The cross is the pinnacle of the Bible's narrative, the moment where God's love and justice meet. Jesus' sacrifice makes a way for us to be forgiven, to be redeemed, and to be restored in relationship that we were created to have with Him. The cross and the resurrection of Jesus is how we know that sin and suffering are part of this world, but not the eternal life that we will one day enjoy. Jesus entered into our pain, into the mess of our lives, into the brokenness of this world to redeem us, to give us hope. And until we are home with Jesus in heaven, you know what? We're going to deal with sin. We're going to deal with suffering. We're going to deal with brokenness. But praise God, when we enter glory, that will be no more. I wish that we didn't have to deal with it every day. I wish that evil would be eradicated from the earth. I wish we could make better choices, godly choices every day. But that's not going to happen until we enter into glory. And then, friends, that's only possible because of Jesus, who came and lived and died and rose again to defeat once and for all sin, suffering, death, and the grave. What is the real good news that we need to hear every day of our lives? Galatians 4:4 says, "But when the time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons." You see, friends, sin and suffering, which is an epidemic in our world today, doesn't have the final word. Jesus does. And He says, I've redeemed that. I've redeemed that. And I've given my life for you so that you can be with me for all eternity in a world where there is no sin, there is no suffering, there is no pain, there is no brokenness. Friends, this brings to a close our Questions from Young Disciples preaching series. It began back in April with the question, what will heaven be like? And it ends today with the question about sin and suffering in the world. And you know, in answering these questions and over the last 5 weeks, one of the things common in our answers each week was this: it's Jesus Christ. Because see, the more we learn about Jesus, the more we grow to be like Him. The more we read and study the Word of God, the more we will know. The less questions we will have. As Paul says in Ephesians 4:13, we keep learning and growing until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That's our goal. That's our goal, whether we're a young disciple, 5 or 6 years old, in our children's ministry who's learning and growing, or whether we've been a part of the church for 60, 70 years. Our goal is to attain to the full measure, to attain the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Our goal is to become more and more like Jesus. Yes, we'll have to deal with sin and suffering in this world. Yes, I understand that. But the good news is, we have a Savior who loves us, who hasn't given up on us, and has given us a way to eternity with Him, and that is through Jesus Christ our Lord. To the praise of His glory, amen, so be it, amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word to us today, that outwardly we are wasting away, but inwardly we are being renewed day by day. We live in a world that is fallen, that is riddled with sin and suffering. There is brokenness all around us, Lord. But there are many good things happening as well. Your kingdom continues to grow, continues to thrive. People's lives are being encouraged and uplifted through the grace that You give to us each day. So, Father, help us not to become cynical or critical, but to seek to follow You each and every day, to make those right choices. And to know that we have a Savior in Jesus Christ who redeems us from sin and suffering and the consequences, redeems us from death. Father, thank You for these young disciples and the questions they are asking. I pray that they'll continue to ask questions and continue to grow in their knowledge of Christ as Savior and Lord. But not just for our young disciples, but for every one of us, that we might strive to attain to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Thank You for Your word to us today. And help us, Lord, to make those right choices each and every day. The choice to follow Jesus, to be like Jesus, and to live according to Your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.